Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to the Eye on the U podcast, Miami Herald's Miami Hurricanes podcast. I'm David Wilson, and I'm joined, as always, on the other line by Susan Miller-Degnan, our Hurricanes beat writer here at the Herald. Susan, what's going on?
Hi, getting ready for a big signing day.
Yeah, usually we'd be all frazzled, right, getting all our pre-writing done. I have not, like, touched a single pre-signing day story, though, because it is shaping up to be a very quiet one for the Hurricanes. Obviously, after they finished the early signing period with I think they finished at number five, depending on what rankings are, number three, maybe even in one of them. Top five class coming out of that signing date. Obviously, there was one big piece of news we were set to follow coming out of that early signing date with Cormani McClain not signing. That drama sorted itself out, though, about a week ago when he officially flipped to Colorado. So now we go into what is the traditional National Signing Day. With pretty much nothing to keep an eye on. I mean, Miami has been making their overtures toward five-star athlete Nicholas Harbor, although he has never visited Miami. They were hoping to maybe get him down for a late official visit, but he's set to visit Oregon this weekend. So it seems like they're probably out of time there, barring something really stunning. Kane Sport reported a couple of days ago that Miami is bringing a three-star defensive tackle, Jamel Howard, down for an official visit this weekend. Chicago-based prospect. Mostly Big Ten schools on him. He's been kind of a Michigan lean for a while. Some defensive tackle depth, which I think makes sense for them to make a push for. But, yeah, otherwise, I mean, they obviously signed 20 – what was the final number? 24 on the early date? I've had the 25. List up in front of me before. 25. Couldn't remember if Cormani was 25 or not. 25 on the early signing date. That's a full class. And so now we go into the traditional signing day with not a whole lot to talk about.
True. I just
not that it's a bad thing. We should say not that it's a bad thing.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing for us. Yeah. But I don't know about for UM, but it's to be understood. Like you said, last year Mario was new.
They did get a couple of guys last year.
Right. In the February National Signing Day, whatever. We should call National Signing Day now Early Signing Day. That should be National Signing Day. But I checked the recruiting ranking, so to speak, and it looks like they went they're ranked sixth with on3.com, mm-hmm. which is they're ranked sixth. They're ranked seventh now with 247, and ESPN that dropped them from third to fifth. So, that's not shabby. I mean,
yeah, they'll finish right around there, which obviously
unless other, I don't know, David. How
I mean, a couple other people will sign, but I mean, you look at just the list of top recruits around the country.
They've already.
Miami is not an outlier in that they have no one they're going after. There are only three five-star recruits still unsigned, only two uncommitted. Cormani obviously committed to Colorado. We'll sign with them, we think, next week. So it's just Nicholas Harbor there's a Deuce Robinson, a five-star tight end. Those are the only five-star commits. Five-star players uncommitted. They might. I'm looking through the 24/7 composite rankings.
How about Jaden Rashada?
Jaden Rashada is the only, and then you've got Jaden Rashada, Roderick Pleasant, mm-hmm. are the only other top 100 recruits not committed. So going into signing day, the day that used to be the day when all the stuff happened, obviously it's not been like that for a while. This year, more than ever, though, it feels like it's kind of a dead signing date where you've only got four of the top 100 uncommitted going into the next week, and only five even unsigned. So yeah, there's not going to be a lot of news really for anyone. Miami's going to finish right around, I think they're like barely ahead of Ohio State. So maybe Ohio State could pass them.
But they'll be top 10.
They'll be top 10. And I mean, you said, is it good for UM that they're not in on anyone going into signing day? I kind of think it is, because, you know, obviously they would love to add like Nicholas Harbor or Cormani McClain tomorrow if they could, or next week if they could. Yeah. But I think Mario was very happy to have pretty much all of his 2023 recruiting done a month ago.
Yeah, me too. And, you know, with Mario, there might be a surprise.
Yeah, exactly.
He has, like all the coaches, I mean, Manny Diaz did that too, you know, just throw in a surprise on signing day or something like that. But who knows? Or a although, honestly, David, those guys, anybody decent wants to be there for spring.
Right.
And if you sign now, I don't think he can be there for spring. So, I mean, yeah. We'll see.
Yeah, I think you see the benefits of that, the early signing. We saw it last year too, honestly, and again this weekend. Every year, the Battle 7-on-7 Miami tournament is one of the first stops. It was right around the same time last year, and Miami turned it into a huge visitors weekend. They had like literally hundreds of. Last year was 2023, 2024, 2025 kids. This year, obviously 24, 25, 26. A lot of local kids, but also a lot of, you know, I'm pretty sure the first time Jaden Rashada visited was for that. So it's good for Miami to be able to put their full focus on the next recruiting cycle by the time that it comes around, which is typically right now around the end of January. So like I said, I mean, obviously if there were, obviously it would be different if more guys decided to wait, right? That the big thing is that guys are just deciding not to wait. Part of that is everyone, like you said, wants to get there for spring. So guys want to graduate early, sign early. And even if they don't sign early, enroll in January. And I think just coaches, players, rightly or wrongly, feel like they have to sign early now, right? Because especially if you want to go to a school like Alabama or Georgia or, you know, Miami to an extent, obviously coaches will wait for a certain caliber of player, but for maybe that next tier down, like if the number 80 player in the country, let's say he's a defensive end, says to Nick Saban, like, I want to wait until February to sign, Nick Saban will say, take your time, but we're not holding that spot open for you. So more than ever, we're obviously seeing that the late signing date is kind of dead. We'll see if it changes. I wouldn't be surprised if we swing back at some point. I know coaches don't love the early signing period, particularly the national championship contending coaches, because that signing day happens right in the middle of when they're getting ready for their big bowls.
True.
And also just we've saw obviously the Jaden Rashada situation and the way NIL can affect the way that these recruitments happen. I think players are gaining more leverage, which could let them wait longer to make their decisions. Obviously, as long as guys early enroll, that will always mean a certain number of guys are signing early. But this year, more than ever, as I've said, like there's not a whole lot of big storyline. Obviously, the Jaden Rashada storyline has become a huge storyline. And, you know, Nicholas Harbor is one of the most fascinating prospects to ever come out of high school. And Cormani provided some drama, but it's really a short list of, like, big storylines to follow in terms of the class of 2023 in the recruiting world going into February 1st.
Yep, it is. I mean, there's not much more to say about that.
Yeah, and it's interesting for Mario especially because, The other component of this is the transfer portal, right? teams.
Yes.
You want to, well, one, you want to sign guys early so you know what your roster is going to look like, right? You know what you need to go after in the portal. They all obviously work in conjunction with each other. I think, you know, obviously Mario came here and his greatest strength, it's no secret, is his recruiting ability, and he particularly is recruiting at the high school ranks. And I don't think the shift from the traditional national signing day to the early signing date affects him or any recruiters really too much. Honestly, maybe as Miami's trying to build, it gives him a little bit of advantage because, as I said, you know, Georgia and Alabama were busy in what was signing day this year, December 21st, I think, something like that. December 21st. Like, those guys were busy. Georgia, you know, Kirby Smart was busy that week. I think the it's interesting to see how the transfers are going to affect what Mario Cristobal is going to be here at Miami, because he has never built his team through the transfer portal in a way. You know, Manny Diaz obviously was, I think, ahead of the curve on that, for better or ill. I mean, ultimately, it didn't work out. But it's interesting that Mario was brought in because he's this great team builder, and he's a great team builder because he did it through the high school recruiting. And now really what you almost see is you've got the high school recruiting happens in December, and then it's transfer season. So just like a lot of coaches, is probably figuring out how to balance this whole thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's the same with all the coaches, really. They've got to augment the recruiting early signing day with whatever transfers they can get, because they know that the second signing day now is like nil.
Yeah.
Nobody, you know, hardly anybody signing. So for example, Mario has gotten eight scholarship transfers, I believe. Mm-hmm. And he's lost. I know I said this last week, people say he hasn't lost those, however many guys, 19 guys. Yeah. And he's gained eight with Robert scholarship players. And then one, the linebacker from Duke, who's a walk-on.
Walk-on, yep.
But you got to see what you get signing day, and then you augment it with these other kids. And a lot of them enter the portal late. You know, they enter the portal late.
I mean, you have it's 45 days from the end of the conference championship weekend.
And then it reopens again for 15 days beginning May 1st.
Yeah, and obviously a lot of guys went in right away, but 45 days from the end of that is like, that was like a week ago. Like, it's a longer window that I think people like kind of realized at first.
Yeah, there's different tactics that people use, but again, we'll see. It's interesting that some coaches probably are getting like package deals with siblings, brothers, that could affect how the younger kid, you know, wants to come, or even the transfer, right? Like the cornerback, like Brown, Devontae Brown,
the Browns, the Mangoas, right? Like,
yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Those are interesting ones where I kind of feel like almost the younger kid helped Miami get the, especially in the Mangoa situation. Like, if Francis wasn't coming to Miami, I don't think Francisco was coming across the country from Washington State to Miami.
No,
I think the Browns
sure
were a little bit more like getting them both helped get the other, but it wasn't like one first versus the other. But so we should say Miami, a couple more transfers in the last week. Terry Roberts, a cornerback from Iowa. Cameron McCormick, a.k.a. the Van Wilder of college football, coming from Oregon, tight end who will be playing his eighth season of college football. You know, really kind of two depth pieces, I would say, more than, you know, they've obviously gotten some pretty big splashes, particularly along the offensive line we talked about a couple of weeks back. So when Mario got hired last year, as we said, they got five high school kids at the traditional signing day. They got Trevante Citizen was obviously the big splash. Then they also got Inez Cooper, who obviously helped Miami quite a bit this year. Matthew McCoy, another offensive lineman, and Ahmad Moten from Cardinal Gibbons, a defensive lineman. And I think what we've seen for the most part, the second signing day turn into, obviously there are a handful of stars that wait. have that kind of leverage, can afford to do that. But for the most part, you're seeing teams basically, they know their classes aren't done on December 21st or whatever day it is in a particular year, but they want the real foundation to be done. You want to have 22 of your 25, and then you go out in the second signing date and, maybe find a couple under the radar guys, like guys who emerged late or just starting to pick up offers, or something happened with their old school and they couldn't sign, like they get dropped or whatever at the last minute, and you like them more than their old school like them. Obviously, and I think what you're seeing is also that's happening to an extent with the transfers, right? Where a lot of the big transfers come off the board early, and then you're seeing Miami go get a guy like Terry Roberts, who will help Echo. You know, he's not as flashy a name or as accomplished a name as a guy like Devontae Brown, but will certainly help at a position where they need some depth. Cameron McCormick, the same way, a guy who's been around for a long time, has not compiled a whole lot of statistical production, but in a young tight end room, they feel like they need an older guy with Will Mallory going out. He helps you there. So I guess that's my big thought as we go into this second signing date, is it is kind of like the B date now, but that doesn't mean it's not still important in terms of roster building.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And the last thing I'll say on a signing day stuff is, you know, now that, and we talked about this last week, now that Jake Garcia has mm-hmm. transferred, I think they would have loved to get another quarterback, but I don't think, unless there's some kind of surprise, that would be highly unlikely. I don't think they would just want to get anybody. So they might be getting already a walk-on, like a preferred walk-on or something like that. So anyway, we'll see what happens.
I mean, they could do that. And as you said, there is another transfer window coming in May that is after spring, and quarterback is a position where there will always be names in there because a guy will lose a position battle or something, or be stuck way down on the depth chart.
And there might be more May. Yeah, it'll be after spring. You know, there'll be some transfers and stuff. So we'll see then.
Yeah, so there'll be a place to add there. But yeah, for now we're going into signing day. It's going to be pretty quiet, but we'll obviously have it covered for you guys. We'll see what Miami's going to even do. I mean, it'll be usually Mario does a press conference on signing day, but they might not have anyone to sign. So we'll see what happens. It could be quiet, as we said, but a couple storylines that we'll be keeping an eye on. All right, we want to wrap up real quick, following up on the Ed Reed story developments. Last week when we talked, he had put out a video. There was a little bit of a drama, kind of unhappy with his early days at Bethune-Cookman, saying they didn't even clean his office when he got there, like I haven't even signed the contract. And now here we are a week later, and he is no longer set to be the coach at Bethune-Cookman. Obviously, it devolved really quickly. Very disappointing, obviously, for us who were excited to see him. And I don't have a ton to add to this story other than it's disappointing.
Yeah, very disappointing. I'm still an Ed Reed fan. I've been following all the drama on Instagram and all his live videos and. Yeah, Deion Sanders was on his live when he met with his team on Saturday. I watched that live. He addressed them saying that to tell them it wasn't true that he said he didn't want the job. He wanted the job, but they didn't want him anymore. After the golf cart live. Ed likes to do a lot of live videos.
He does.
Yeah, he really does.
Like from golf carts too is like one of his signature moves.
Yeah, I would talk to him sometimes in the golf cart, in a UM golf cart. You know, he likes golf.
Right. Carts. Yes.
I would see him hanging out in the golf cart. But anyway, I'm really disappointed, really disappointed. And I hope he does well. He has a lot of fans. There are a lot of people behind him. I'm not sure what happened with they had a. Supposedly all the kids had a protest, and I haven't followed that as closely, but I don't know if this season will be it for him. I'm not sure what's going to happen with him. I'm sure he's not going to come back to UM. I can't imagine him coming back to UM. So we'll see what happens with Ed. But I still think he'd be a great coach. And I love that he's honest. Everything he says is honest.
For good and bad, he is honest. Yeah.
For good and bad. Sometimes you have to weigh what you're saying, but I mean, I do love that he speaks the truth, in my opinion. And you know, the idea, by the way, and this kind of has to do with that, on Monday, UM announced, the ACC, we said this, announces the schedule for 2023, the football schedule for all of the ACC teams. And we do know the, you know, the teams we've already written that we've said that UM's playing for the first, usually we don't know, David, till the day they announce the schedule, but we know now, including the non-conference teams, but we don't know what day. So that what dates they're playing them. So it'll be very interesting to see when, well, we know the non-conference dates, but
yes, we know those first four games we talked about a couple, maybe that might have been last week too. Bethune's on a Thursday. Yeah. Texas A&M at home, Miami versus Miami. Right. They go up to Temple.
Bethune-Cookman is the last non-conference.
Temple's after. Temple's after.
But Bethune-Cookman's this Thursday night. We'll talk about that more on September 14th and September 23rd at Temple in Philly. But after that, who knows?
Yeah. It's obviously the first year with no divisions.
No divisions, including they travel. We know they travel to FSU, you know.
Yep, travel to FSU. Clemson comes down here. There's some good games on the schedule.
Yeah. Travel to North Carolina. We get to go to Boston College, right? To Cam's father's deli. And yeah. North Carolina State also is away. So we'll see where it lands.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to 2024 when we go up to Syracuse.
Syracuse in the snow, yay! So I've covered games there. Do they play in the same place?
It's called the JMA Wireless Dome now. But yes, they play in the dome. They redid it a couple years ago. I went up there for a game a couple years ago after they redid it.
What was it called before?
Dome. It was the Carrier Dome.
I actually did not like covering games there because you're out in the, it's like the,
yeah, and it gets loud. Yes, it gets loud. Really loud. You're with echoes.
Yeah, you're with the fans and whatever.
There were some notable Miami Syracuse games there too. Some Donovan McNabb against Miami.
Always notable Donovan McNabb.
Yeah.
That's going to be the news. That'll be the news next week.
So we'll come back next week. We'll have a little signing day stuff to talk about, but I would guess we're going to probably dive a little bit deeper schedule wise, just because that'll be the news story. Yeah. We know there's going to be news there. I'm excited. I'm excited just for the new format. Obviously we won't really feel it quite like the fact that you play every team basically every other year. We won't really feel that, obviously, for a few years, but I'm excited to get the first little taste of it this year. And it's nice that you can, like we can look 4 years out and know, not these schedules, but know the opponents. I don't understand why they don't just put the schedules out. The Big Ten, they have the schedules out for, like, years already in the Big Ten.
Wow.
They like to make it drama. They like to put a little show on ACC Network and have EJ Manuel come on and break it down or whatever.
Yeah. Mark Rick.
Yeah. All right. I think we can close things out there. You can follow Susan on Twitter at S Miller Degnan. You can follow me on Twitter at DB Wilson too. Obviously, we've got all your schedule and signing day stuff covered, but we've also got the Miami Marathon on Sunday. One of our most chaotic days of the year.
Yay, Miami Marathon.
We'll be out at Bayside early on Sunday morning. That 4 a.m. wake up call, 3:30 a.m. wake up call.
3 a.m. wake up call for me, David.
I get ready pretty quickly. So if you're out running, come say hi. We'll be around the start line and the finish line. But yeah, that's always an eventful day, and obviously
And a lot of laughing. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. And as we were saying, last year was the day they hired Josh Gattis.
Last year we had
we were sitting in the media room in the hotel, and
it was very convenient. Last year we had a Miami Marathon displayed on the front of the Miami Herald Sports and on the front of the paper, and then right next to it was Broyles Award winner Josh Gattis hired. Yeah.
So we'll there always seems like something comes up on marathon weekend. So
yes, it does.
Anyway, thanks as always for listening, and we will talk to you guys next week.